these that sing, in you that clap, in each and every one of our hearts, he's doing something, and he's drawing us closer to him. And it's a blessing to just take part in all of what God is doing, and all the different people and all the different things that he has for us. It's just a joy to serve him. This week I want to, oh, by the way, before I get started again, I just want to, there's one thing I do want to mention. Those of you who know Luann Dunham, she is in Strong Hospital. She has throat cancer and leukemia. She's got a trach in, and her prognosis does not look good. And so outside of a miracle, she will probably be going home soon. And I spoke with her the other day, and I spoke to her. She wrote me the messages because she can't talk with a trach in her throat. But she would love to see anyone who would just go and visit her. This really could be it for her. It's hard to say. I asked her doctor. Her doctor called me. And I went up, and I asked her doctor, I said, sir, is this something that, in your professional opinion, she could bounce back and go home? And he said, it's not very likely. And so if you know Luann Dunham and you would like to see her, I know it would bless her if you could go up to Strong and visit with her. just walk in at the front desk, ask for her, and they'll get you to her. And so please do that. There are others that have been in and out of the hospitals, and I praise God that some are here this morning. Meredith had a surgery last week, and Brother Al had quite a time, but praise God. They've managed to get here, and we are blessed for it, and I trust that you will be blessed as well for coming. And so I believe we have a couple helpers this morning, right, for the children? Amen. Children, you want to go downstairs? Look at that. No. That's funny. I said, children, do you want to go downstairs? And my son and Kylie got up and started walking like they were going downstairs. Must be you needed more supplies, I take it. Dallas, do you need help? Kylie, do you need help? Do you need help or you got it? Okay. Amen. That benefit is really drawing from us today, but that's okay. I started a little series, and I started it last week. I thought I was going to preach a whole message on three different things, and I only managed to talk about repentance. And I want to do a quick refresher on where we are and where we're headed. And so I'm going to touch base real quick just on these particular five verses. And I'm going to go a little fast at first, so hopefully you won't, miss too much. If you've never been here before, I don't want to overpass something so fast that you miss it, because I believe that this is very important for us. I've come to the conclusion that, why are you bringing them through here? Go down the ramp. Oh, okay. Looked like he was going to march through the church with tables. I've come to the conclusion that if we want to have a successful Christian life, then there's certain things that we must do. And I've asked this question in many different circles. I've asked it here at church. I've asked it in other places where I go and minister. And I ask the question, do you know what it is to have a successful Christian life? And I get all kinds of answers. Well, if I read my Bible more, or if I pray more, or, just getting saved and things like that. And it's like, you know what? To be successful as a Christian, God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And I believe that these five verses are what I've been calling a master key to get us to where God wants us to be. The verse in the center being the main one. But first he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's, we get saved. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is that we grow in Christ. I'm going to talk more about that verse today. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's Jesus' calling to his disciples, and it's really his calling to all of us. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Now we're starting to see. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And we're starting to see, after the Holy Ghost comes on us, we're going to be witnesses for him. We're starting to see what it is he's called all of us to do. And then finally, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And so I believe that all of us, those of us who call ourselves Christians, if we're following Jesus Christ, we need to start at the beginning with repentance. And we need to end up at the bottom there where we're preaching the gospel, where we're telling other people about Jesus. And that's why I had you practice this morning. Look at the person next to you and say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? That's good practice, right? How many were uncomfortable telling the Christian next to them, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? We're even uncomfortable just talking about it ourselves at times. How are we ever going to tell perfect strangers or our family members or our coworkers if we're not even comfortable talking to Christians about Christian things? And so, again, these five verses, I've encouraged you to put them on your refrigerator and figure out where you're at within the realm of this. Are you just getting saved? Have you just recently repented? Are you just now beginning to learn how to take up your cross? Or are you beyond that and you're to the place where the Holy Ghost is empowering you and you're beginning to witness? You know, wherever you are within this particular master key in your Christian life, you can become successful. I was at the jail the other day, and on the wall behind me, they did a parenting class. And the last question on the wall said, how likely am I that, you know, this apparently was a question they were asking the inmates to answer for themselves. How likely am I to succeed in life? And I looked at that question, and I was able to use it that evening. I said, you know what? It was a group of girls. I said, you know what, ladies, that question right there is a really good question, but the only one who has the answer to that question is you. You decide whether or not you're going to succeed in life. And we decide as believers whether or not we're going to succeed as Christians. Well, what does Christian success look like? Well, Jesus said to be fruitful and multiply, right? He said that those who don't bear fruit, every dead branch will get cut off and thrown into the fire. You talk about the 10 talents, and we may get to there someday. You know, those who produced for the master were blessed and given more. The one who just kept the little bit that he had and didn't do anything with it, that which he had was taken away. And so we have to be very understanding that, you know what, wherever we are right now, there's another step of growth that's possible. And we need to be looking forward to becoming who it is Jesus has called us to be and doing the thing he's called us to do. And each and every one of us, I believe, he has called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, does that mean that you're going to travel all around the world telling people about Jesus? Maybe. Or does that mean that perhaps he just wants you to witness to the people that are in your world, the world of your influence? I heard a statistic the other day that each and every person throughout their lifetime will have an opportunity to have influence over about 10,000 people. Well, if God's called me to save 10,000 people, to tell 10,000 people about Jesus, I better be at it. I got some work to do. Amen? And so do you. And so anyway, we covered that there must be a pivotal transition in our walk with Christ where we go from being a disciple to a discipler. We covered repentance last week, having our minds changed. These three things, I believe, are three requirements. If we're going to be successful as Christians, we need to be repentant, we need to have humility, and we need to have obedience. Again, we covered this last week. Repentance is about changing one's mind for the better, to changing our mind, to getting to the place where we abhor sin, where we hate the sin that's in our lives. You know, that's part of the problem. One of the reasons why we struggle so much a lot of times with temptation is because we don't hate that it's sin. And we need to get to that place where we have a change of mind and realize, you know what, this stuff that I'm struggling with, I hate it. I don't want to sin anymore. That's repentance, having a change of mind about things. More verses, if any man in Christ, a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Two things will happen when you truly repent. Either God will take it away completely, he'll turn that switch off for that particular temptation, or he will give you the strength through him to endure the temptation. And then the verse we use for that, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. In other words, the things that you're going through, guess what? Everybody else is going through it too. If not everybody, certainly somebody. I will guarantee you, it does not matter what has taken place in your life or the sin that you have struggled with all your life. I will guarantee you, in this room, there is somebody else that has struggled with the same exact thing. And Satan wants us to think, oh, I'm all alone. Nobody else has had my experience. Oh, yes, we have. There's no Lone Rangers here. We are all sinners. We all live in a broken and fallen world, and we have all had things happen to us, and we have all done things to others, and there's no Lone Rangers. So realize the things that are taking place in your life are common to all of us. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but with the temptation, make a way of escape. If you keep falling into the same temptation, realize that's not a good escape route. Find the right escape route. If you try this route, and it's like, oh, you know what? I still fell over here. Don't go that way anymore. Let's find the other, go another way. God will provide you an escape. All right, here's where we're up to. I know that was kind of fast through the whole repentance thing. And if this is your first time here, I apologize for that. If you have any questions pertaining to repentance, we can talk about that later. I'd love to have that conversation with you. But we are up to humility. In the progression of our Christian walk, we go from repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, having our minds changed for the better. And we go to the next verse in my little master key there, and this is it, Matthew 16:24. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the first half of the verse. Let him deny himself. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I thank you for each and every one who's come here to just be in your presence. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and that you will change our lives today. Have your will in your way and help us to walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If any man will be successful as a Christian, we need to learn how to deny ourselves. That's part of what humility is. The word deny, if you look it up in the Strong's, you will find that what it means to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone, to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. That's really interesting when it says to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone. You know who the someone that's talking about is? You. That you will have no connection with your flesh. Because when we have connection with our flesh, what happens? We sin. It's that simple. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, I'm not living for me anymore. I'm denying myself and allowing Christ. Do you realize the power you have? When I said that, it just sparked something. Allowing Christ. Allowing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all the universe. It's you who give him the allowance in your heart. That, wow, he gives us way more power than we deserve. You have the power to choose to allow him to work in you or not. That's a scary thing. God, you put that on me? You gave me that responsibility? That's why I need to deny myself. Because I'm too weak to have that kind of power. Lord, do it. Do it in me. Live in me. Live through me. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They have denied themselves. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Humility is a requirement for a successful Christian life. I have found through the years in ministering that when you approach somebody with a heart of humility, you have greater opportunity to witness to them. You have greater opportunity for relationship with them. You have a greater opportunity to have somebody listen to you if you come in humility. But when you come full of pride, like you have all the answers and you know exactly what they need, usually a wall goes up. And then there's confrontation. And it's hard to communicate with somebody once that takes place. Especially if you come along and you have that attitude that, you know, like, I'm right and you're wrong, and if you don't listen to me, you're never going to be right. Humility. If you want to succeed in telling others about Jesus, use some humility. The question I had you ask this morning, can I tell you about Jesus? That's coming in humility versus, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. The moment you say, I'm going to tell you about Jesus, chances are, no, you're not. Because they're not going to hear you. Your mouth will be moving and stuff will be coming out, but their ears aren't receiving. But when you ask somebody, can I tell you about Jesus? Now it's their choice. And when they say yes, it's an open door. If they say no, that's okay. Be humble. Jesus said what? Dust the feet off, dust off, and go on to the next. But you know what? Sooner or later, somebody's going to walk up to that same person and they're going to, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe one of the other people in here will meet that same person somewhere on the street. Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? And they'll remember, you know, that other guy wanted to tell me about Jesus. What is this about this Jesus? Sooner or later, they're going to say, okay, what is it about this Jesus? And so, minister and witness and work and walk in humility. How many of you are married? Realize that humility goes a long ways in a marriage, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen, brothers. And ladies. Denying ourselves, being humble. Without humility, no one will deny themselves and follow Christ. I want to show you something about the word humble yourselves in that verse that I just used. Means to make low, to bring low, to assign a lower rank or place to be ranked below others who are honored and or rewarded, to humble or abase myself by humble living, bring down one's pride, to have a modest opinion of oneself, to behave in an unassuming manner and avoid all haughtiness. You know, I've had many experiences in life, and I could stand here probably for the rest of the time that we have, you know, the next 20 minutes or whatever, and tell you how great a job I can do at this and at that and other things. But you know what? I've learned that nobody listens to that. Nobody wants to hear that. I get turned off when somebody tells me how great they are. Don't you? You know, I would brag on Dave all day. If anybody wants to put a floor in, there's nobody better. Now, when I say it, you guys are going to hear it. But if Dave was to walk in here and say, I'm the best floor layer there is, and if you want your job done right, you call me. Chances are, you're like, yeah, okay. You're not going to hear it. You see, there's a difference there. When you humble yourself, and you know what? The best advertisement Dave can do is to keep his mouth shut and keep doing a good job. Because other people are going to talk about Dave. They're going to say, you know, how many jobs you get from word of mouth? Tons. Word of somebody else's mouth, not your own, right? When you walk in humility, God blesses that. Humble yourself. He will lift you up. It's my children. I love my children. They're hard workers. Cruz is learning how to be a hard worker. He's getting there. Keep praying for him. But I love it. You know why? Because my children, somehow God put something in them just to do a good job, just to work hard, whatever it is they're doing. They don't go looking for work. It finds them. You know why? Because people talk about them and people realize, hey, you know what? They're hard workers. I need some of those. And they call them up all the time. You want to find you know, a better job, you want to, don't be promoting yourself. Just get out there and do it. Do the work and let somebody else promote you. You walk in humility. But the moment you say, oh, I'm the best, you want me. You know, the world says to be successful, you got to promote yourself. You got to put yourself out there. Hey, you want me because I'm the best. Shut up, please. Because somebody's better. If you're going to say something like that, say, you want me because I'm going to do my best for you. I'm going to work hard for you. I'm going to do whatever I can to help your business move forward. But, you know, there's a difference. There's a different tone when you talk in humility. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off on all that, but to humble yourself, to bring yourself low. Without humility, no one will deny themselves and follow Christ. Now, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 19. Thank you, I finally heard a page turn. I thought, huh, is that air conditioner louder than I think it is? I don't hear any pages turning. What's that? Well, not these. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And you know what? That's a good question. And chances are most of the people that you run into, whether they'll be bold enough to ask you that question or not, chances are most of them have that question in their heart. What do I have to do to make it to heaven? What do I have to do to have eternal life? And that's why I encourage you to go to your family members, go to your loved ones and your neighbors and your coworkers and everybody that's in your realm of influence and say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Because chances are they have the same question in their heart. What must I do to have eternal life? And he says to them, verse 17, why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now it's good that this guy understood that all of these things he'd been doing since he was a young man, he was doing all the right stuff, but he still felt like there's something missing. What do I still lack? I'm glad that he wasn't just hanging his head on his own righteousness and saying, you know what, I'm a good person. I'll have eternal life. We all know somebody who thinks just because they're a good person that God's going to, you know, bring them into heaven, even though they won't confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's not about being good. And this guy understood that. He says, what am I missing? And Jesus says in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's pretty difficult. Those of you who are of my age or older, you realize how hard it is to even put a little tiny piece of thread through a needle. A little difficult these days, isn't it? Let alone a camel. And then, of course, I've heard the teaching, you may have heard it too, where the eye of the needle was, you know, this hole in the wall in Jerusalem where camels had to get on their knees and crawl through and whatever. It was difficult, okay? Let's not get hung up about the eye and the needle. Jesus, and so verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Apparently the disciples knew how hard it was to thread a needle. Well then, who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said, see, We have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. Now, here's a rich guy, has many possessions. And you know what his problem was? You know why he was never going to succeed as a Christian? Because he wasn't able to deny himself, sell all his possessions, give it to the poor, and follow Jesus. Again, I'm glad he understood it wasn't about being good, but when he did find out what it was about, he couldn't do it. And he turned and he walked away sad. And sadly, we find this to be true today, even a lot of times in our own lives. When it comes right down to it, are we willing to deny ourselves? To do what God has called us to do? To follow Christ? And you know, we can easily point a finger at the rich guy and say, you know what, he had a love for money. He had greed, and he had all this stuff. And that's what distracted him from denying himself. But what's our excuse? What's our excuse? I believe the number one reason why we fail to grow spiritually to the place where we are more concerned about advancing God's kingdom than our own is because we too struggle to deny ourselves the things of this world and to take up our crosses and follow Christ. Think about it. We become overweight because we can't deny ourselves. Don't we? I'm preaching myself today, trust me. conviction, yeah. Addiction, because we can't deny ourselves. We struggle financially because we can't deny ourselves and save more money. My kids, all of them are kind of the same. Cruz is going through the same phase right now. You get $2 in your pocket, we got to spend it. Can't deny ourselves the stuff of this world. And so we struggle financially. We skip church. We don't pray enough. We don't read God's word daily. We hold grudges against other people. We fall to temptation. All these things because we don't deny ourselves and take up Christ, take up our crosses and follow him. You think about it. You know, the things that we struggle with, if we would just take that verse and deny ourselves, we would go so much farther, so much faster. Got real quiet in here. So when we fail to grow spiritually to become fishers of men, we are no different from this rich young guy who wouldn't deny himself the things of this world to follow Jesus. We're no different. He's a perfect example. If I was to say, you know what, we need people, more people to clean the church. We need more people to work with children. We need people to work with teenagers. We need people to play on the worship team. We need people to do all kinds of things. You know how hard it is? We'll have a work day every once in a while. We haven't done one in a while, but we'll have a work day. And very few show up. I thank God for everyone who does something in this place. God bless you. But you know what? If we would deny ourselves. You know what? I just had a thought. There's some different churches around, different pastors that I fellowship with. I wonder when one of their work days are. Maybe we should all just go over there and help them. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm going to ask around the pastors if they got any work days coming up. I'll let you know. Deny ourselves and go help somebody else. If you want to succeed in your Christian life, deny yourself. Amen. I'm going to move on. Obedience was one of the other requirements. Remember, repentance, humility, and obedience. Romans 6:16 says, "Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, and to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." Whose servant, who are you serving? Who are you obeying? That's a very good question. We should wake up in the morning and realize, you know what? There are two masters desiring our servanthood, desiring us to follow them today. The devil is one of them. He's the master of this world. He's the master of sin and deceit and destruction. And he wants us to serve him all day long. And then there's Jesus. He wants us to serve him all day long. He's the master of peace and love and life and righteousness and all things that are good and all things that are true and all things that are pure. Who are we going to obey today? Who are we going to serve today? 1 Samuel, we know what happened to King Saul. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Obedience is better. Obedience is really, really high on God's list for you and I. If we want to have a successful Christian life, we need to be obedient. Matthew 16:24, again, back to our verse in our master key. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself," which we just talked about, "and take up his cross and follow me." That taking up your cross and following Christ simply means go and do what he's called you to do. And you might say, "Well, I don't know what he's called me to do." He's called you to tell somebody else about Jesus. He's called us all to tell somebody else about Jesus. He's called us to live righteous and holy, obedient lives. He's called us. You know what? My cross is maybe different than your cross. Apparently, my cross is the pastor of this church. Your cross, well, maybe it's the pastor of this church one day. I don't know. But chances are your cross is something else. The rich guy's cross was to get rid of all his possessions and follow Christ. Jesus' cross was the cross of our sin. He took upon himself and he carried it. If your cross is just showing up to work every day faithfully and serving as hard as you can and just being a light to that, to your workplace, then that's your cross, whatever it is. If you really can't figure it out and you don't know, then right now I would suggest your cross is getting on your knees and asking God, "What is your will for me today? What is your will for me tomorrow and the next week and the next year? And what is your will for me till the end of my life? God, you've called me. What do you want me to do? Is it a matter of becoming a prayer warrior? Is it a matter of becoming a leader in something? Or a servant of some kind, somewhere?" But we must take up our crosses and follow him. That's obedience. Now, taking up your cross can mean one of two things. Putting to death our old sin nature, which is displeasing to God. The thing that Jesus did was he took upon himself a cross that was weighted down with our sin. And he crucified it. He was crucified because of our sin. And you know what? Each and every one of us need to die to that sin. Just like Jesus died on that cross, we also need to die to sin. Boy, if we, I said this a couple months ago, or a while ago, thought came to my mind. So, you know what? I wish there was a red flag that would just show up every time that, you know, I'm starting to go down the wrong path, or every time a temptation should be headed my way, that before it gets to where it has any influence on me, there'd be a red flag, and I'd say, oh, don't go that way. There's a red flag over there. If we would just realize that the sin in our life, how displeasing it is to God, and if we could remind ourselves of that, hey, you know what? Right now, I'm displeasing God. And act upon that thought and be obedient to God and take the escape route and be His servants and not the servant of sin, how much better our lives would be. Romans 6:6 says, know this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's what taking up your cross, part of taking up your cross is. Crucifying that sin nature that's in you. And secondly, taking up the things of God and putting off the things of this world. Look at Mark chapter 8, and we're going to finish with this today. We've already talked about the central verse, the theme verse, in our little master key there, Matthew 4:19, where it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I've already talked about that. So I've got to pray through whether I'm going to talk about that anymore next week, or we're going to move on to the Acts verse about with the Holy Spirit coming on us. But so if you don't even know what to do for the next week, then just pray for me for the next message and we'll see where we go. All right. But taking up the things of God, putting off the things of this world, Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You know, that's an interesting sermon all of its own, where a lot of times we think we know better than God, don't we? That's not a good spirit to have. But verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his only holy angels. You see, Jesus is laying it out right there. You want to be successful as a believer of Jesus Christ and a follower of Christ in your Christian life, then deny yourself and follow Him. And do not be ashamed to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, can I tell you about Jesus? That's good practice. Now, I want you to think of somebody who's not saved. Think of somebody who's not saved. Chances are, for everybody in here, if you did what I just told you to do, somebody's name came to mind. You saw their face. You know them. You know they don't know Jesus. And you also know that God has already spoken to you about telling that person about Jesus, hasn't He? I'm not telling you something new here. I know how God works because He does the same thing to me. Be obedient. Tell that person about Jesus. Deny yourself and do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If they say no, okay, fine. When you walk up and you say, hey, can I just tell you about Jesus? If they say no, okay, look for another opportunity. Maybe someday, if you will open the door and ask them, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? And they say no, and you just love them anyway, you just be kind, and you go about your day, the day may come where they may come to you and say, hey, you know what, I think I do want to know about that Jesus. But you open the door, let them know that you're concerned, that you want them to know who this Jesus is, that you're not ashamed of him, and that you're willing to deny yourself and be obedient and to serve him just to love somebody else and tell them about what God's done in your life. And again, it's not hard. If you're truly saved, then you know what God's done in your life. Just tell them that. Say, you know what, I had this going on in my life, and I called upon Jesus, and he changed me. And I want you to experience the same type of change. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know if you struggle with anything, but I can tell you this, that if you would turn to God, if you would call upon his son, Jesus Christ, and allow him to come into your life, your life will change. It's not hard. But we don't do it because we won't deny ourselves, we won't humble ourselves, we won't obey God. That's why we don't do it. That's why, you know, the church in America has been not very successful over the last... You look at the church, the decline in this nation of godly things in the last 20 years alone, let alone the last 50 or the last 100. You look at the decline, and I believe the reason is because the church is not denying... People are not denying themselves, and they're not taking up their crosses, and they're not following Christ. I want to have a successful congregation, a successful group of Christian believers who are willing to take up that cross, who are willing to deny themselves, who are willing to repent of their sin and go out into all the world and do what God's called us all to do. Stand with me this morning. God is good. God is awesome. You don't have to have a great vocabulary. You don't have to be the best orator. You don't have to be able to preach a 3-point sermon. You don't have to memorize scripture. The other day I'm at breakfast with a whole bunch of pastors, and one of them looked at me and he said, oh, what are you reading these days in the Bible? And I said, well, I've been focused on these 5 verses. I couldn't give them the scripture reference. I could tell them what it says, but I couldn't give them the scripture reference. I've been serving the Lord for 30 years. I've been pastoring his church for 10, and I couldn't pull out scripture references. Are you kidding me? But I know what it says, and I'd be glad to tell you what it says if you would just allow me to do that. And I'm not ashamed that I don't know scripture references. I'm not too worried about scripture references because I know Jesus, and I can tell you about Jesus. And so, and that's not to say that if you are good at memorizing scripture references and scripture in that way, great. God bless you. Use that to your advantage to win the lost. Amen? This other pastor that asked me the question, of course, nobody's going to ask me that question if they don't already have the answer. So he told me all what he's reading and all this stuff, and that's awesome and wonderful. And I'm glad to be able to fellowship with other believers and other pastors, other leaders that are in their word. They are praying, and that's a great thing. But, you know, wherever you're at in your education, wherever you're at in your knowledge of God, there's always room for growth. Take it upon yourself. Be intentional about spiritual growth. Go to the next step. But take what you know. Jesus Christ and him crucified died for your and my sin. Take what you know and share that with somebody. Who knows? I'm trusting God for a revival in this city, let alone in this nation. As the church stands up and gets busy doing what God's called us to do, I believe there's success in God's kingdom when we humble ourselves and pray, when we repent of our sin, when we deny ourselves, and when we take up our cross and we get busy doing what he's called us to do. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, that you have, you're leading us down this track that just advances your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to deny ourselves. Help us, God, to have evidence that you live in our lives such that the lost would see and desire it. Lord, that the things that you do in our lives would cause other people to glorify you. Father, I pray you bless each one today. If there's any here that have yet to call upon your name, yet to repent of their sin and ask you to forgive them, then I pray today would be the day that they would say yes to you and deny themselves. And if there's any here, God, who, yes, we've been saved, yes, we've repented of our sin, we call upon you, but we've stalled, I pray you help us, Lord, to stand up, to take the next step forward in you. Help us to be humble before you and obedient before you. Because, God, we know you want each and every one of us to produce fruit, to bring an increase. You want to use us. And we know, God, it's not by our strength, it's by yours. And so help us, Lord, to be humble before you and to serve you and to do your will. Lord, help this congregation, help this city of believers, and help this nation, Lord God, be successful in advancing your kingdom. Each individual successful in their Christian walk, their Christian life, but us united as one, successful in winning this nation back to you, turning the heart of this nation back to you. And Lord, I ask your blessing on each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you have never called upon Jesus to forgive you of your sin, ask him to enter your heart to be your Lord and Savior, then I ask you, please come and see me. I would love to share Christ with you, to pray with you, to set you free from the bondage of this world and into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And if you're struggling to deny yourself, then please come and we'll pray. But if hopefully you've been inspired a little bit today to move forward in your Christian walk, I praise God for each and every one of you. And I know that he's got great things for each and every one of us, for all of us together. And so God bless you. Tonight, we're going to cancel, after just preaching this message on denying ourselves, we're going to cancel this evening service. We may cancel the rest of the evening services through August, just because this week we have this benefit that's going on. That's where the other part of the church is. 2 weeks from now, we have the block party going on where we're going to be out in Genesee Park ministering to the community. And so we may just take off the evening services for the rest of the month. But we'll be back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. The attendance to that has been low, but I'm going to keep coming, if nothing else, just to pray for that program and for others to get involved and to take advantage of that ministry. And so we have those things going on. God bless you. If you have time this afternoon, go down to Seneca Lake State Park down by the Ramada and take part in that benefit for Wendy. I believe there's food down there, and you can definitely take part in some of that ministry. It'd be great. They'd love the support and to see you there. God bless you. Thanks for coming out today. I trust that the Lord has touched your heart and hopefully drawn you closer to him. Be blessed, and I will see you again soon. Amen.